Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast, coming at you from week 10 of the lockdown, where we all now have to stay alert.
Yeah, stay safe.
What's that noise?
You passed the test, Flax. You're alert enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get your karate costumes on.
Yeah.
And just be ready for anything.
Just get ready to rock and roll, because you never know when.
Yep.
You never know when the shit's going to hit the fan. You want to have a welding mask on for when that happens.
yeah.
You need ultimate protection.
Yeah. Get in the ring.
Yeah.
Get yourself greased up. Just get yourself ready to wrestle with anyone who tries to come close.
Oh,
just push them out of your ring.
This is a nice topic that you mentioned because recently
wrestling.
Well, yeah, it's topical.
Stop watching wrestling.
No, it's topical for me though, because recently I've been questioning whether or not I've been going insane or not during this lockdown. I didn't really think that the lockdown affected me too much. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was above it all because I've kind of been living like this for the past 8 or so years anyway. So
sure.
Like it's no different for me. But I've been playing Fallout 4 with a lot of mods recently, and I'd say the bulk of my playtime recently has been pitting people together for gladiator style combat. Like, I made an arena where I force my settlers to fight to the death. And once one of them dies, I have this whole series of machines ready to process their bodies and all of their belongings into junk and meat. And then I've got another mod that is able to can the meat into like Soylent Green, which gets deposited into a bat. And I'm not even joking. I spend like about 8 hours a day doing this. And then even sometimes at night, I come out and try to like refine the process a little bit more. And I just had this like weird epiphany yesterday where I was like, I'd stop what I was doing and just think, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why am I spending so much time on this? Why am I enjoying this so much?
Yeah.
It's like the machine that sort of dismantles a human being in this game makes this really odd squelching sound. Somebody in Twitch chat likened it to fisting a bowl of custard. That's the kind of sound it makes. And, you know, you just see like meat come out the other end and like, you know,
it sounds awesome.
Pelvis bones.
Sounds horrible. Sorry.
Yeah, it's weird.
But this is like anyone describing their RimWorld saves. We've been
sure,
there.
Yeah,
you know, it's
true.
Like,
that's
you're
true,
like,
yeah.
So I was starving to death and my dog bite my leg off, but then I killed my dog. I had to eat the meat. And then another man came and he killed me. And then he was my main settler and he ate the man who had the one leg.
Yeah.
And then he chopped his own dick off and ate it. You know, like, and that's just like in the game, that's like nothing, right? So
sure.
You've got like, I don't think you have to worry about whether or not you're turning into some insane psychopath, dictator, lunatic in Fallout 4. We know that's happening. You're doing that. Well, that's exactly what's happening.
Maybe it's one of those things where like just playing it by default makes you insane sort of thing.
If you were playing it in like a fairy world, imagine if it was all like, instead of chopping up, instead of gladiatorial combat, imagine you were like, I don't know, fight, like having flowers.
Right.
Like kiss each other.
Yeah.
And then the one that fell asleep, you put in a lovely bed.
Yeah.
And it got processed into dye. No, hang on. No, never mind. Do you know what I mean? If it was like, because you can see this stuff, right? Every game has like soft mode, you know, where blood is replaced by rainbow splatters.
Oh, sure,
and,
yeah.
People don't die, they go to sleep, and all this.
Remember the early Mortal Kombat games when they came out on the Super Nintendo and they replaced the blood with, like, sand or, like, sweat? You'd punch a guy, and, like, in the arcade version, there was, like, big They look like big, like, splotches of ketchup or something flying out of them. There's blood everywhere. But
they've the always Nintendo, had to do these.
Yeah, they have to, like, censor down.
Some regulator or some ESRB rater saying, this is going to be an 18 unless you replace the blood with fairy dust.
But listen, do you think... So I've told you...
It's a PG then.
I've told you
You're still punching people in the face or running people over. Do you know what I mean? Like,
true,
in GTA.
Yeah. GTA is,
I mean, GTA
bad
was originally going to be banned
yeah.
a lot because you were actually driving a car and running, like just running down pedestrians in the street. You know, my brother plays GTA all the time.
Right.
Even now. He loves it. He loves running people over.
What's his name and where does he live? I don't want to... What if he's like...
He's
going crazy
guy.
During the lockdown as well, and he just decides to go postal?
He's doing great during the lockdown. His normal life is pretty shit because he's got a real job on the railways. He has to drive out to these places and trudge around and fucking watch out for trains coming, and it's pretty hard work. And he's had to do it for like 20 years now.
Jeez.
Kind of getting there because he left school at 15.
Right. To work on the rails?
Yeah, he's been working on the railways for like 20 years now.
Fuck.
And it's crazy to think that that's the thing. And it's
well,
I won't say it's
somebody's
got to
do it. I mean,
but it's kind of like a hard job, and people get like, you know, like you can imagine if you're a fisherman or something like that. So that's a hard job. That's like, you know, you see these old fishermen and they look fucking knackered when they've been on the boats.
Yeah,
for
they're
like
all weathered
years.
And stuff. They all have like,
yeah,
they always have lozenges too, right? Like, but like a hickory pipe as well, which
so
I'm not sure
from
about
my
that
brother,
combo.
From my brother's angle, I feel like he's looking better than ever. He's had like a good couple of weeks, 4 weeks, six, 8 weeks off.
All right. So listen.
Yeah, he's having a great time doing his house.
I've told you my dark secret about the kind of mods that I use in Fallout, but. What do you think is worse? Do you think those are worse, or do you think the ones where, like, there's a lot of mods for Fallout 4, as you can imagine, being a game that features human beings and stuff like that. So, of course, it lends itself that there's lots of mods to...
nudity.
For example, provide shaved pussies for all of the female companions.
Good lord.
You know, fully nude mods, all that kind of stuff. I don't have any of those. I'm not really interested in those, because I just watch porn or whatever. But do you think it's weirder for somebody to download those mods than it is to download mods to do with processing humans into edible
yours
cans
are
of
worse.
Meat?
Yours are obviously worse.
Okay.
Mine are
okay,
worse.
No, right? So what is worse though also? Like loot boxes in Overwatch. What if you only play Overwatch and spend all your money on loot boxes and it's this mindless grind, okay?
Right.
Versus a game like Fallout, where, albeit you are building a hell machine.
Yeah.
I neglected to mention
as well, there's an area behind glass where the bones of all these people drop into. So there's just this gigantic container full of bones called the Bone Zone. And it makes this really gross clickety-clacking sound constantly because the physics are like a bit bugged. So there's like... I would say there's got to be about 100 people's worth of bones in there. And anytime you walk by this thing, all you hear is like clack, clickety, clack, clack, clack. You know like, what I mean? Like,
it's something like out of a shitty 80s horror film.
So in what way is inevitably people fancying female representations of video game characters, you know, mainly because most of the people playing games like that are dudes, right? Young dudes. So they want to have all the nude mods and stuff like that.
I don't
know.
I think the demographic is shifted.
I don't think 18-year-olds are installing nude mods.
I just wouldn't. I don't know how I would. You know what I mean? Like, I would feel uncomfortable playing those mods, whereas I don't somehow feel uncomfortable.
I think it's because if you get caught with those kind of nude mods, it's like, really? Like, you're into this?
That's what I mean.
It's creepy, but.
Yeah,
what
that's
you're
what
doing
I'm saying.
Is like, definitely disturbing, and I think one is more expected and understood than the other. And yours, to me, is really quite disturbing.
Right. Okay.
No. To me, it's not at all. To me, it's like you're playing a kind of more fun version of Satisfactory, where you're just building like a cool machine.
Yeah.
But this is a cool
machine. You're using your brain to like set up a production line. Like, if you were working today, Sips, if you were growing up today in, like, I don't know, China. Uh-huh. Let's just say China, where they're trying to automate everything, and they have all these young kids, and they bring them in, and they're like, okay, you three genius whiz kids are going to make this factory that employs 1,000 people. You're going to build some crazy little Raspberry Pi auto machine video recognition technology that will automatically do the job of a human who had to do it by hand and was fallible and terrible and slow and also hated the job. You're going to replace these people who had terrible, crappy, horrible jobs with machines.
Yeah.
This is what we need, Sips. We need these thinkers. You know, if you imagine if you were working in a meatpacking factory, you know, the bone zone would be perfect. Imagine if you get a pig, put him through the bone zone, no bones anymore.
Yeah.
Bam. Jelly pig, and then like just sell that fucking thing. Someone will put it in the oven.
Shit, yeah.
You could do it with piglets. That would be delicious because the meat's a lot more tender on piglets.
Yeah, you're right. I stand corrected. This all sounds so much more sane when you put it that way.
There's another mod called the Innifix, which fixes those troublesome Audi vaginas in the wasteland to innies instead, which is much more pleasing to the eye or whatever. There's a whole mod.
So I thought you were talking about belly buttons.
No, there's a whole.
Yeah, that was
my
first assumption, but then I realized
there's a whole mod for just that as well. I still think, like, I get what you're saying, Flax, but I don't think I'm the sickest person out there in terms of.
Oh, I'm not saying you're the sickest person out there. I'm just saying that what you're doing is
colossal
tits
mod. There's like all these like new like sexy power armors and stuff, and like, man, I wouldn't be caught dead with those. I mean, I uninstall them every time I go to stream just in case people see, but. You know what I mean? Like, what if, like, my wife walked in and she's like, hey, what are you playing? Oh, geez. And I just installed, like, the Innie mod for Fall. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of weird. I just feel it's kind of weird. Even if I didn't have a wife, like, what if, like, my mom walked in and asked me what I was playing, or, like, my kid brother, or, like, my older, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want anyone to catch me, like, playing with those mods. However, I don't have a problem with people, hey, what are you playing? You know, I'm just processing some meat here. just killing a bunch of people, and they're killing themselves, and then I'm turning them into canned meat. I don't have a problem with that somehow. I don't know.
I think it's the amount of time you've spent, and this is how long has this been going on for?
Oh, weeks. Like weeks. Yeah. Like some days, like we just some days. Well, I mean, I've got a whole Twitch chat that are like along for the journey as well.
I'm
right?
sure they're loving it.
Well,
sure
they get to bet on the fights and stuff. And
yeah,
like,
it's great. It's great. I'm just saying.
We got champions.
You're also doing this off stream, aren't you?
Well, I got to do like some setup and stuff.
What are you doing? What are you doing, P-Flex? Playing Dota? Ooh. What's worse?
No, come on. I mean, Dota's a respected.
What are you talking about?
Dota's become now like a fine traditional gentleman's esport, right? It's been around for so long. I feel it's like, you know.
Have you tried the
very respectable
that new sort of one lane version that the guys what's it called?
Pog.
Is that what it's called?
Path of Guardians or something like that.
Yes.
So I play that all the time. We love it.
Do you?
Oh, that's the one you got to do like gambling for, right?
No. It's what Turbo Mode should have been.
All right. Listen, I don't know if you're playing the same one actually, or talking about the same one. The one Lewis is talking about has a gambling element to it, where you can like bet on results and you get more money to upgrade and stuff.
No. This is just 3v3. There's only a mid lane. The map is slightly different, and you just have to. It's like crazy amounts of money that you get, and you level up very quickly. So I know that Shannon, aka Suns fan, and a bunch of other guys at
Dota Cinema
made this, like Neil and guys like that. And it's brilliant because you can play a game in like 15 minutes. Like if it goes past that, it's like, wow, you know, this is the longest game of Pog ever sort of thing. Like it's a quick game.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And the main reason they made it is so that you can try out heroes you'd never normally get the chance to play in a real game because you're like, I don't want to risk it. Like I've never really played Leshrac much. Played thousands and thousands of hours, thousands of games of Dota. But there are certain heroes that I'm just like not comfortable picking because I know that it would take me 10 or 20 or 30 hours to even get halfway competent at that hero. And I tend to, you know, pick the same kind of things and stuff like that. Whereas in Pog, I can play whatever the fuck I want. And I can try out all kinds of different item builds and see what's effective and practice those heroes. And that was something they really wanted to do. And Dota has not had that forever. It's been nearly 10 years and that's never existed.
Yeah,
so
I'm so happy. Yeah,
it's a really fun game.
Yeah, I was going to give it a go actually as well, because I think it's something that it's like Dota with I don't know, it feels a little bit more like you're interacting with other people too, because oftentimes you play Dota and you're either solo in a safe lane or solo in the jungle or solo in the mid, and other people are there on your team, but they're not necessarily interacting with you for the first half an hour of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, if I'm streaming Dota and I'm playing as a carry, which doesn't happen that often, but on the occasions that I do, for the first 20 minutes of the game and much of the rest of the game, it's just me hitting creeps. Like, I've won games of Dota where I've had loads of farm and I've got 3 kills, because it's only at the end that we're so big that we're like, well, all right, yeah, I'll just come and we'll just win. Because, you know, I've reached that carry status where at this point my hero is essentially unkillable. And we can win. And as a streamer, you're thinking, is this entertaining? Like, is it fun to watch someone just going whack, 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 and just acquiring money?
Yeah.
And much of the time, I would have to say, no, it is not. So I tend to play initiators and team fight stuff because it's more fun to watch, you know?
I've been playing, this week, I've been playing a board game called Arkham Horror.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I'm playing it after I played a game called Eldritch Horror, which is made by the same people.
Yeah.
And also, that's made by the same people who made Mansions of Madness. And they've got the same characters. It's Fantasy Flight Games. It's like a kind of a series. Mansions of Madness is kind of a board game with an app, which you guys have played, I think, where you... the app sort of tells you what to do and spawns enemies, and you kind of, it's set in the kind of Cthulhu mythos universe of all of that eldritch spookiness in Arkham, in Massachusetts, in 1925, whenever it is, kind of. And so it's a bit, you know, and I don't know much about that setting, and I'm not very good putting myself in it. It's a setting which I would like to get into, but I just haven't been exposed to enough.
The interwar years is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what it is? It's the kind of noir detectives and the sexy dilettantes and, I don't know, trumpet playing guys. Do you know what I mean? Kind of, it's kind of a very unique setting.
Right.
Anyway, I've been playing these games because they're co-op, where you're kind of, and they've got very good automated systems to have players play together against them, or they've got campaigns.
Right.
And so part of the game, because it's co-op and because of that, like, not only is the game very heavily campaign based, i.e. there's 20 or 30 different stories, like little D&D adventures to play through with your friends. But also, like, there's a load of fan-made ones. I found, like, a Stranger Things one and a Batman one and a few other silly ones.
Yeah.
But it's like a little... The one I've been playing at the moment is what's called a living card game. And obviously, I'm super into card games. You know, always have been. And this is, rather than a collectible one, which is just random packs like Magic the Gathering or Hearthstone, it's a living card game. So all you have to do is buy the expansions, and then it's like a deck building game. And if you buy all of the expansions, you have all the cards, and so you don't have to buy booster packs or trade or do any of that crap. And you could just use other people's stuff and share. Anyway, there's a really good tabletop sim mod for it, so you don't even have to buy any of the cards, which is nice. And all I've done all week is just like look at the stats and be like, oh, this card would do this. And then I've occasionally played a few games with different people. We did a few adventures, and it just felt like a really good way to play games. Like, it was engaging my brain, but also it was against, like, an opponent that was like the AI. I've played a few other board games that were more versus as well this week, and I didn't enjoy them as much. I felt like when I'm playing against humans, they're very smart, and they keep tricking me. Like, I played a game against Ben this week.
A natural
Game of Thrones
gamer.
Witches game.
That lad can game.
A natural gamer. Yeah. And every fucking turn, he would outsmart me with some shit. And I was like, fuck, I did not plan for this. Like, I had these crossbows that were able to sort of move backwards when they got charged, you see. So I thought, oh, I'll just keep them on the side here. And then if Ben tries to charge them, I'll just move them backwards. And so what Ben did was, instead of charge them, he just moved his horseman right up into their face. Right? So I was like, oh, shit, because I hadn't planned for that. Because I thought... And it was like an unexpected play for me, because I thought, well, why wouldn't he charge? You know, even because that would, but because he didn't charge, it didn't trigger my ability, and it didn't do this thing, and he just outsmarted me, and I felt stupid. Did you ever get that when you're playing a game against people?
Never. I'm highly intelligent, so I find I never am in that situation.
Me and the lads on Discord have started playing chess, like off stream. We're just messing about chess. I know. It's a weird thing that, like, these little fads emerge on my Discord, and we'll be playing a game.
It's a classic game. Nothing weird about that at all.
No, it's just strange that we've suddenly decided after. We've been hanging out together playing games for like 5 or 6 years. And
have
now
you like
chess
tipped over a certain age and now chess is acceptable?
I don't know. Like we just play it. And
can you imagine if there was a Fortnite Discord started playing chess on there?
It's like when Hat Films were doing like playing Monopoly and stuff like that. Stuff comes back round, you know, like
it's just
games
interesting.
That you played a long time ago,
it
you
change.
Feel like playing again.
It's like you've just gotten into like an old school drawing room. It's like a gentleman's club.
Is,
you
yeah.
go in and with your suit, your like tweed suit, cigar, sir? Oh, yes, please, Jeeves. You get your cigar, you walk in, you fucking... Brandy, sir? Yes, of course. You sit down at the fire, you lean over the chessboard, you're like, oh, well, where were we? Okay, let me take my move for
your
the
move,
evening.
I think, Stevens. Yeah, it's like that. But so we're just playing it, and it's funny because what you're saying about, like, I think in a lot of games, chess cuts through all the other stuff, and essentially most kind of games where there's some kind of strategy, there are similarities to chess for sure, in that you have to think ahead. But most importantly, I find myself not doing this. And I think this might adjust the way you play board games, is that if you only look at what you're trying to do and what the immediate threats to you are, you miss out on a huge amount. So you thought, I'll just leave my lads here because if Ben charges them, they'll just pull back. But you know that Ben knows that. Like, you know that he knows that your crossbowman will just pull back. So he would never charge them. So he thought of something else. So in reality, you were thinking about what you were going to do, but you weren't anticipating what he was going to do. And the whole point of chess, really, is having to think about your overall goals, not really just waiting for your opponent to make a mistake, but trying to build a strategy that's like 3 or 4 moves, bim, 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 and suddenly they're in big trouble. So you've got to plan ahead, but you've also got to think, what could he be doing? Like, no one moves a piece just to move it.
Oh, no, but that's where madness lies. This is like that Cthulhuian nightmare, because then you start getting into, like, what... So if he knows that I know that he knows... That I know that he knows that it starts doing this cycle.
You can't do
and
that.
And then you all go fucking crazy.
No, I'm just saying that a lot of the time when I'm playing games, I do this myself. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, and I'm not thinking about what they're trying to do.
I think another thing you could try as well is maybe just being better at the game.
Yeah, just get good, essentially.
just get good at the game instead.
So now it's time to introduce our very first sponsor for the Trifles podcast, and it's something that I actually use at home, ExpressVPN. So we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change my location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is that it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream it in HD no problem. If you visit our special link right now at expressvpn.com/triforce, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the show. So occasionally I get recommended chess videos on YouTube.
Yeah, me too.
I think I've spoken about this. With Magnus Carlsen mostly.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a site where people can play chess against him. And his actual chess site thing is like you have to, I think you've got 3 minutes each for the entire game.
Yeah, he's a blitz chess guy, right? It's fast, fast, fast.
Yeah, and so I don't even, watching this thing, means I can watch a video in like 6 minutes, you know, because it's quite good, like as YouTube content, you know, a chess game. Because you'd imagine a chess game to be like fucking hours and hours, right? Just people sat there silently staring at a board in a big arena. But no, this is like Magnus's face kind of with a bad webcam, like looking up at his like double chin sort of situation. And then he's just like mumbling as he like just crushes this guy at chess. And occasionally some guy will do something weird and he'll be like just stuck for like a half a minute or a minute, like sat there like, what the fuck do I do to get out of this? Either realizing he's actually lost,
right,
or realizing like maybe there's like some way I can just trick him into thinking I don't know what he's done here. And because there's so many permutations, so many complex situations, even this guy. But the thing is, most of his decisions are just on autopilot. You'd think a lot of his decision making is hunch based. Like he's like, it feels like this is the right play here. You know, he's almost played so many games that
it's just
knowledge
patterns
is
to him, isn't it? Like it's slight
it
variations
it
of, like,
patterns,
of a pattern. I think most games of chess, I know that if you look at the possible permutations of moves, it's like obviously the more the game goes on, the more it branches and becomes complex because there's obviously only a limited number of moves you can make on turn one. And then based on that move, you've now got these branches of possible moves, you know, for your second move and all the rest of it. So I think certainly when you think about the way he plays chess early on, it's kind of autopilot, click, 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 click. And there's lots of set openings that people go for and stuff. But then later on, I think, as the pieces start to get taken and stuff, then the patterns start to dissolve. And now that's where the real skill comes out because he suddenly needs to recognize what to do when the tree is gone. There's no pattern for this. This board is unique. You know, I've never seen this exact board before in a game. And that's when the real skill comes in. Because a lot of people, I've played against a ton of people and they know the openings. And there's that opening you can do where you win in like three moves or whatever. I fall for that one all the time. Because I can't remember.
Fool's Mate? Fool's Mate,
I think. And you just go bip, 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 win. And you're like, oh yeah. It's like super bad. I've tried the opening where you just mirror your opponent's moves. That never works either.
I don't mind chess. Well, I don't. I mean, having said that, like I play it very occasionally, but like not often. I don't know. I don't tend towards like strategy games much. Like I don't know. Like I just there's something just sort of like I don't know. It's like unappealing about sort of. Like Lewis was saying, you know, you put something in and you think it's going to work and then it doesn't work. And like, I don't know, I just can't get past that sometimes. You know what I mean? Like the situation with the crossbows, I'd be so salty. I'd just be like, ah, fuck, you know, like that didn't work. Oh, I'm ruined.
I am. And I've noticed that if the game starts to go my way, my mood lifts.
Of course.
So dramatically.
Of course.
And I'm like smiling again.
It's fun
like,
when you're winning or if you even have a chance of winning. But like, I find sometimes strategy games, depending like who you're playing against or whatever, if you're playing against somebody who's like far superior to you, it's impossible to enjoy the game unless it's like part of a franchise that you really like or something, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know. It just seems so unforgiving, you know, like strategy, whereas like, I don't know. I tend more towards like games that have some strategy to them, but the point of them isn't strategy. You know what I mean?
I think if when I play CSGO, for example, what I'm enjoying about it is that even if they're better than me, I'm still going to get a few kills.
Yeah.
Just because occasionally a bullet's going to
hit him
in the head or whatever, or a good grenade or whatever.
Yeah, there are payoffs. Whereas like with a strategy game, like I don't know if you ever played like StarCraft 2 1v1 or whatever. It's exciting to watch and it can be fun to play, but man, it just feels so bad when like you just get absolutely hammered, you know, or you misread your opponent or you fuck up somehow. And it's just like, ah, shit. Like I've just wasted all this time. I'm fucking dead. Like it never feels great, does it? I don't know. It's like,
yeah, I feel like sometimes. So these games I've been playing are a little bit like they will screw you badly.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that XCOM and other games can do when you're playing them. You know, often with XCOM, it's hunch-based. You've got, like, a squad, and you kind of, once you play with them enough, you kind of know, like,
XCOM
you don't have to work out stuff.
Though.
You
XCOM
can be like,
is different because there's a lot of, there's a lot of, like, random stuff thrown in, too, so that, like, sometimes it feels like, oh, my fucking God, what a disaster, but then you'll squeak through somehow, you know? One or two guys who are just almost dead will... You know, you'll just the luck will shine on you.
And that's a well balanced game, really. It's like mitigating bad luck, having enough to do that.
And those moments you just live for in that game, right?
Yeah.
And then the whole telling a story along the way is so good too, right? Like, you know, with these persistent.
That's the art of it. Yeah. Yeah. So it feels like these games that I've been played are quite tightly tuned. To the point where, you know, fucking you're being chased down a corridor while there's like a fucking horror coming out of a portal, and also like there's a room on fire that's spreading, right. And then the, you know, like the floor's falling out on one side of the room, and you've got all this shit going on. You're like, ah! You just have to sort of try and get through it.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I enjoy those experiences. You don't. It's not the same. With a player, you know, a player will just be teabagging you at that point.
Yeah.
You know.
Fucking noob. Fucking stupid noob.
Yeah. So I don't know. But they're very different experiences. And there's a place for both of them, I think.
Yeah.
But I just find it a lot tougher to get beaten by a guy.
I would rather lose to the computer. I hate losing to people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I hate losing the computer as well. Like, I just, well. It's not that I hate losing. I just that there's degrees of losing, right? Sometimes if you get outplayed, but whoever has outplayed you is exceptionally skilled, you just think, oh, whatever. You know, like I can't even be mad at that because he played so well or whatever. You know, you have moments like that, but it's mostly just losing to bullshit, right? Stuff that you just think, fuck that. I didn't know that, or like it just it's too random that it becomes bullshit or whatever. Like Hearthstone felt like that a lot, didn't it? It just like,
yeah, because yeah. There's, I mean, any card game is going to have elements where they draw the exact right card and you're yeah. just card dead. And it's like, I mean, that feels no fun.
No, of course.
At all. Like,
yeah.
So that's why, but if that happens to the computer, I'm just like, oh, I'll just go again. No yeah. loss. Whereas against people, I think, you lucky motherfucker. Like, it just really gets to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it gets. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you have to have a specific mindset to play, like, strategy games against other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's, you know what? It's interesting. Like, I play tons of strategy games. I play sports simulation games. I play strategy games.
You play Blood Bowls, won't you? That's a very PvP kind of...
Blood yeah, Bowls, but yeah. It drives me nuts. Like, what I enjoy about Blood Bowl is killing another player's team, killing his star player, or scoring some bullshit goal. That's basically the only thing I get out of Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
Is picking up the ball in some ridiculous situation, throwing it like 1 in 6 chance this lands, and scoring as a result of that. That's it. I live for those moments.
Yeah.
The rest of the game is just kind of a slugfest.
But you can usually pick a team that fits with your desired play style. You know, if you want to be that, you know, that kind of guy, you can probably pick orcs or whatever. I don't know.
I always play orcs, aren't they? But only because the orcs have a thrower, and occasionally the thrower can pull off an amazing throw, and people don't expect the orcs to throw the ball. Like, if you play a big bashy team, the key to Blood Bowl, there are basically two strats. You've got the squishy lads, like elves and Amazons and stuff, and they're like the elves in particular, their whole game is based around passing. Because they can dodge past all your guys, they throw the ball, he catches the ball, and then they score. And they just do that every time they get the ball. And they're very good at getting around the edge of your lads. And they also tend to have units that are good at breaking into boxes and taking the ball away and then just jumping away with it. And it feels frustrating because it's like they seem to never fail. Whereas orcs and dwarves and stuff like that, you tend to build them as these punchy teams that kind of slowly grind up the pitch and maybe score a goal in the game. But what I like to do is just build a lad who's lightning quick, has dodge, agi as an orc, and then they throw the ball to him and he just runs and scores. And people are like, oh, that's, you know, they don't expect it. They think you're just going to come and punch them, but we're special orcs. So that's the fun of it to me, really. Other than that, the game stinks. Blood Bowl's terrible.
That sounds far too cunning for an orc.
Other than that, it stinks, Larry.
It does stink. It's terrible. Yeah. Blood Bowl's an awful game. It wasn't designed to be balanced. Workshop games. It's designed to sell miniatures. So
Games Workshop games are terrible.
Yeah. Seas of Blood is a prime example. It's a game called Seas of Blood.
Great models, great lore, terrible games.
Did you ever play Seas of Blood? It was like a naval combat game set in the Warhammer fantasy universe.
I never did.
And you had Corsairs and you had you know, they were like the human ships. You had elf ships, you had dwarf ships and stuff. The dwarves had dreadnoughts. Like, or ironclads.
Oh, Man of War is cool.
Man of War. And they had ironclads. And you couldn't penetrate their armor at range. But they were bristling with guns. So the only thing against them, as usual with dwarves, because it's Games Workshop and they love dwarves, is that they're a little slow. But that doesn't really matter because the board isn't that big. The objective is to fight, not to get to somewhere quickly. So you basically circle around them, failing to penetrate their armor. Meanwhile, they're blasting away at your little ship. And if you dare to go close, you die. And they did it because the miniatures just came out. And it was like, we've just announced this dwarf expansion and they're amazing. So why would you ever play the game unless you were playing dwarves?
Games Workshop's stock price is like fucking high as hell. It's crazy. Like I looked at them like a while back for some reason. And I don't know why. I guess they're just really successful. I don't know. Like, it's just nuts.
I mean, they've shut all these stores, so I guess they just moved to online sales and stuff.
Yeah, which probably makes, well, especially
so much of their revenue comes from licensing their IP.
That's it. They license it out to video games.
And income
games
from
and
things
stuff.
Like Total War Warhammer. I mean, yeah, exactly. And, you know, all the other bits and bobs.
Because wasn't that
do.
Vermintide game that came out? That was quite
that
popular.
Was them, yeah,
and that was
course.
Them as well.
Well, the thing is, like, license. When you're building a game, imagine you want to make a game. You build the sort of the universe and all this crap, and you have a game, and it's called, like, I don't know, fucking any old shit. You know, Eternal Magic Realms of Fire.
Right.
It sounds like a mobile game. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Like it's and you've made your universe.
Throne.
No one
Throne
gives
of
a shit,
Thrones
right?
Fire.
But
and ice.
Suddenly, if it's called like I don't know, Warhammer Bright Wizard Wars. I don't know. Suddenly, you've got like it still sounds like
Clash
a mobile
of
game,
Warhammers.
But it suddenly sounds like it's suddenly a universe that you can just a pre-made universe that people will just buy that just because it's.
Yeah, yeah.
Something they've
a big
heard
fan,
of,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
like the Dawn of War games, like the 40K RTS games. That's Dawn of War, isn't it?
A lot of times games will just be made and then skinned with a universe. You know, you could even make a blank slate game, you know, and shop around once it's made and find a universe to skin it in, you know, whether it's going to be Game of Thrones or
yeah, because wasn't the Dawn of War stuff was basically just Company of Heroes, but it was...
Dawn of War.
Yeah, and the same thing with Total War. You know, Total War, up new engine, you know, unit skins, and they've been making it for, you know, 10 years now, Total War Warhammer, but...
Wait, no, that you know, just only came out recently, didn't it? Total War Warhammer?
Warhammer 2 just came out recently.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. So that,
well, right. I say recently, like 2 years ago probably now.
It's interesting, like old IPs that...
3 years ago.
That sort of stand the test of time, they stay around forever. I mean, like Warhammer has just been around for as long as I can remember. I've never been into it or whatever, but... And like the 40K stuff and... I mean, even like Fallout, the IP's been around and it's changed hands. It's interesting, isn't it? Like how some of this stuff just keeps going. Like you think like with Warhammer, what the fuck could they possibly add to it now after all this time, like that would, you know, keep it interesting or whatever, but they still do. Like, I guess it's still popular. Like, well, it's exceedingly popular, isn't it? Like people still paint miniatures and play board games and
people watch people paint miniatures.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's how
nuts.
Much people like miniature painting.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all those crazy YouTube videos I've talked about them before where people just paint a thousand goblins identically and
so
people
what,
will watch it.
Well, if something like okay, so something like Warhammer, being somebody who's not I know very little about it. I know bits and pieces, but like is there like story? Like is there lore? Are there big characters or
is there lore?
Is it just factions and miniatures?
There's a million,
there's nothing else.
Million hours of lore.
Right, okay.
There's been
so
like
there's...
thousands of novels and...
Oh, right,
I mean,
okay.
The lore used to be quite simple. Like it
that's
just
really
used to
all
be,
it is.
It used to be... you'd get the rulebook. Like I've got the old 40K rulebook and there's lore pages in there, which is just like some ancient text reproduced that talks about the Emperor and where he came from and all the rest of it. And then one about the Forces of Chaos. And then if you buy the Eldar... expansion book or whatever, there's all stuff about the Eldar in there.
Yeah.
And the lore, when I was fucking 14, 15, I was, oh, this is amazing. Like, this is the greatest story ever told.
Wow.
Like, it was amazing. And then and now I'm older, I'm just like,
I was more of a Hero's Quest kind of guy when I was younger.
But that's Warhammer.
Hero's Quest?
Hero Quest.
What, the board game?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Oh,
isn't
I didn't
Games
realize
Workshop?
It was. I just thought it was... I thought it was...
Oh, it's Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Yeah, it was
I
like...
I thought it was... I thought it involved Games Workshop in some way.
Wait, no, it was like Games Workshop Lite, I think. It was like...
Yeah.
It was
oh,
like,
God,
here's
you
a
know what?
Really watered-down, dumb version for
they
all of you.
They did a version
plants.
That was basically HeroQuest. What was it called?
Well, Games Workshop actually did make the miniatures, I think, and build the world for them. I think
right.
They actually were involved.
I'm sure they were
in
involved.
HeroQuest. But anyway, the point is that... Yeah, it's huge amounts of really cool story that people know. People are familiar with Space Marines and Tyranids and all their factions. Yeah. They're familiar with elves and dwarves and goblins and the Warhammer world.
I'm familiar with the imagery, but like I didn't realize that there was like fucking books and everything to back it up too. I just figured it was just like people who were into it just collected the because every time you see the models, it's always like tons of models, right? You get like those big ones where it's like a whole like garrison of troops or whatever. There's like, it's like like on a plate and there's like 20 dudes or whatever. And I just figured it was just like,
I mean, let me tell you, right? Nowadays, you can pretty much do anything. If you're even 20 years ago, it was like this. Like, imagine you're really big into, I don't know, feudal Japan and the era of the shoguns. There's like some really cool plastic models for samurai troops, for shield guys, for pike guys, for leader units. You can buy them, you can paint them, you can kickstart them, you can see people who've painted them already.
And what, have books for all of these, like the shogun ones too? Like, is there like a...
I mean, but the point is that already exists, because that's real history. You can read a million books about the fucking feudal Japan.
Yeah, what's
Japan
the
and
lore
Mushashi.
On feudal Japan?
No, it's just, talking... Yeah, it's just... No, but wait, but this is Warhammer though, right? Like...
No.
Yeah, but Warhammer has become like a term which is almost like the same for Hoover. Hoover is a manufacturer of vacuum cleaners,
right.
but we call all of our vacuum cleaners.
I thought
Hoovers.
It was like dwarves or like orcs wearing like shogun armor and stuff.
No, because okay. there's a million different miniatures systems out there.
Right.
There's loads. And companies will produce a line of miniatures to go with their game system that they've come up with, and you know, some of them have varying success and all the rest of it. And they, I think a lot of people, when they get older, I certainly did, I was super into Warhammer stuff when I was younger, and then when I started to get more interested in history and actual like warfare and actual miniatures and stuff that were representative of, say, the British powers in World War II and stuff like that.
Sure.
I was playing more those kind of games and ancient battles and Napoleonics. I love Napoleonic stuff. Because it's just...
Do you like Batman? There's a Batman miniatures game. There's a Harry Potter miniatures game.
I didn't like
game.
Any
you
of
know,
the stuff that was can, like that. It had to be
there's,
historical.
There's, you can... all these things exist. And they some of them are pretty bad games in themselves. Some of them are okay.
Man, I'm
some
such a simpleton, I've realized. Like, all I played was like... The only board games I ever played when I was younger was like HeroQuest and Axis and Allies.
But here you go, right? No one actually plays these fucking board games, Sips. Most of people just... know the lore. They buy these expensive tiny toys that are unpainted. They paint them themselves, and then they hope that they can get one of their friends to play with them. Okay,
right.
But as always, it's like the game is like 50% buying miniatures, and you know 30% painting them yourself, 10% looking at them, and then 5% actually using them to play a game with someone. Because then you have to get the rule book out, you have to figure out what the rules are.
Oh, my God.
Like, me and Alex actually played the Fallout miniatures game about 3 weeks ago.
It was
probably even longer, ages ago. It feels like 3 weeks ago, but it was 10 weeks ago. Just before the lockdown, me and Alex played the Fallout miniatures game. And it took us about 3 hours to learn the fucking thing. Basically, you start off with... the guy that came out of the vault, Soul Survivor. You can pick a couple of different ones, and a dog meat.
Did you paint them?
And you have to fight like super mutants and ghouls. Yeah, Alex painted some. I just inked some ghouls so they were brown and glowing. Oh. It's like piece of piss.
But you're in a unique position because you go
did
to
you make
work
a meat factory?
And everyone there at your but everyone at your work plays games and will play board games. I don't know anybody in my area that plays board games.
But you're not unusual. You are the normal person.
No, exactly. That's most people. Like,
very
you need to
few
join
people actually ever get to play these.
You need
fucking
to join
games.
A club. Like, that's why board game cafes are a big thing now.
But I feel like
there's one in Richmond near me, and you can go there and play board games. You can drink. They'll do food. You can buy their board games.
There's one close to me. There's like a club of people that get together. But I always just figured that like. These guys probably know each other or have like a long-standing sort of like relationship with each other where they play certain things that they like or whatever. I always feel like if I...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I like the sound of that Fallout miniatures game where I always feel like if I went to one of these places like, hey, guys, what's up? Want to play some Fallout miniatures? And no, we're too busy playing fucking HeroQuest, and we got an Axis and Allies game on the go here too. We don't want to learn your game or that's what I feel like it would be like. I'm sure it is like that.
I think it would be like that. Yeah.
So like,
but I think it's up to, as always, with anything in life, I've found that it's up to me to galvanize people to do the things that I would like to do with them.
Right. Yeah, you've got to motivate people a little bit. It's tough,
right? Because people are usually down for anything, and especially if they don't have to prepare. It's like the classic thing of Dungeons & Dragons. It's easy to find people to play Dungeons & Dragons with, but it's hard to find someone who wants to run the fucking Dungeons & Dragons, so you always end up having to do it. So if you actually want to play Dungeons & Dragons, you either have to be lucky someone else is running one near you, or just reply quickly when someone invites you to do it, and then, you know, that's how it is. You know, it's a funny thing, but I don't think you are missing out, really. But nowadays, certainly with Tabletop Sim, there are I'm sure a wealth of resources online for you to go into Discords and find people, and I bet you there's probably
I love the idea of Tabletop Sim, but I hate
it's just it feels even fiddlier to me than actually playing with the real
you've got to like the physics of picking the dice up and stuff, and it just feels like so tedious. Like,
and in fact that is one of the main reasons I think that I don't like Tabletop Sim. Like, yeah, because one of the main reasons people play miniatures games, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now will agree, that playing them physically is such a big part of the game.
Yeah, you want to look at your little lads.
Yeah, of course. You know, but you also want to stare into the eyes of the enemy you're about to vanquish, and you know they know at that moment they're about to eat your shit and stuff. You know, like
that the tabletop sim is a great way to learn a game if you haven't learned it. Or set it up. So often they're like, some of these games have this specific setup. If you can load it up in Tabletop Sim, do it, go through it yourself. Like, you could even like do a practice game on your own if you can't find someone to teach you. That is a really valuable resource. Certainly for me, it's like sped up my way of learning board games lately.
Do you know what? There is actually another family that we know in the area, and we played Settlers of Catan with them, and we played Ticket to Ride with them, because we played with the older
those
kids.
Are really fun. I like those.
Right, they're fun games.
Yeah, they're chill.
So we're playing, and there's another
chill,
one.
Chill, fun, family
which
games,
which is the
right?
one where you have to build tram lines through San Francisco. I'm sure it's called something like San Francisco Trams or whatever.
Oh,
it's like old San Francisco, and you
good,
build
though.
Tram lines out. It's cool. It was a fun little game.
Ticket to Ride is really fun. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah. So we were playing Settlers of Catan, and the other mum, she got completely boxed in, like very early on. The roads just, whoop, that's it. She was stuck. So her game, she was like quite upset and kind of sulky, which I don't blame her, because I've been in that situation again. You're like,
geez.
Great, I can't actually do anything. So she was like, I guess it's my go. And I was like, oh dear, she's not enjoying herself anymore. Because Catan is kind of like that. And I played it a bit, and the other dad had played it a bit, and the eldest daughter had played it a bit. And my eldest didn't want to play because she's just weird at the moment. But so we're all playing and everyone else is doing okay, but she was just like screwed. There was no way that she could do anything. I felt really bad. That's the one thing about some board games is that you just sometimes got a little unlucky and that's it. And if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you're screwed.
Somebody ultimately has to be the biggest loser, right? Like,
yeah.
There's no way around
well,
it.
Well, here's the deal. What's happened there is people have either made mistakes or figured the game out. And there's actually a couple of expansions to Catan. Like, there's a one where it's like an islands expansion.
Yeah.
And so it means you actually have to go and discover islands. So you actually almost have to build cities on the coast, build boats, and go out and discover these islands. And so it stops
that sounds cool.
Blocking.
Yeah.
It stops that blocking sort of game, which is a part of the game, unfortunately.
For real. But like, we play, the kids play this as well, actually. Carcassonne, which is another classic German game.
Oh, that's the Carcassonne is the like the puzzle piece one, right? Where you have
place tiles and you have to try and build cities and roads
and
fields
block people
and stuff like
from completing theirs and stuff.
So
yeah.
My youngest, every time she plays, she wants to help out with your city. So you build a city and she'll like join in. I'm like, no, don't put it there. You want to go here because you've got to get your guy in there and then we'll work together. She's like, oh, right, okay. And my wife always tries to build these cities on her own, and I'll always try to screw over Mrs. F's city by like, she's almost finished it and I'll just put that one tile because I know there's no piece that will fit this apart from this one piece and we haven't seen it yet. So she has to put this piece down if she wants to finish this city.
Yep.
That's the kind
Carcassonne
of thing.
Carcassonne is a horrible game.
It's great.
Right,
you can really screw people over by looking at the tiles that are out and thinking what's left to come. Like, there's one tile that's just city. The entire thing is city. And I always think it's funny when you know someone's waiting on that tile. There's only one of it in the entire set. And you just yoink it for your own city.
Yeah. Stick it on the edge of something.
Yeah, just for nothing. It's just one point. But it's like, it would have made them a million points. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's Carcassonne is...
A lot of those games like Carcassonne, Settlers, Ticket to Ride, they have really, really good mobile versions of all those games. You play on tablet and stuff.
Yes, they do. And some of them are free.
And some of them you can play against other people online and stuff too, which is kind of fun. There's like
leaderboards which is, and like shit we said, like that. I think it's, you can do it, but it's sometimes not as fun.
It's not. It's not. Because it's not as good as the real thing, but if you can't get people together to do the real thing, or like, you know, you're in quarantine and it's harder to do or whatever.
I've definitely been binging like some of these.
I wouldn't say all of them are great on the iPad, but like certainly Ticket to Ride is very good on the iPad.
You know, I wonder.
Some of them
aren't
too expensive either.
Did you ever play Talisman, the board game? Talisman?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
There's all these extra expansions. I'm wondering if my kids are all, because I've got the original edition Talisman. I bought it on eBay years ago. And I've never played
anybody. There's a digital Steam version.
Yeah, it's
that was quite.
I want the little lads and the old school Games Workshop artwork. None of the new shit. I'm talking the OG artwork when they made good games.
I mean, there are, for all these games, for Carcassonne, for Settlers of Catan, for anything that's ancient, like Talisman as well, there are a million versions and mods and changes and rule sets and expansions and official expansions and everything. And I think if you look around, you probably will be able to find the best version of Talisman that is playable. And I think by now there'll be fans who are, you know, really addicted to that, have really...
Make your own, you know, Flax. Get the lads together. Stop playing chess. Why don't you guys all pool in and make a fan version of the game that you want to play? You know,
nah,
be the change
be
you want to see.
Can't be bothered.
I recommend you get the lads on tabletop.
We've done that. We played Secret Hitler. We played a couple of other things. But they all want to play Pokemon Hunter or whatever it's called. I think it's a board game.
No.
Yeah, they love it. And so,
see, this is like those guys at the game store. Sips goes in. He's like, hey, guys, do you want to make a meat factory and
this
Fallout?
This is another thing. We're older guys, right? And a lot of these people that are like in our... you know, chat communities or whatever are much younger, right?
Yeah.
So, like, people liking Pokemon is usually, for me, a giveaway, like, that they're, that's the noticeable age gap. Like,
they grew up with nothing.
Minus 100
but
interest
in the same,
Pokemon.
Like, but in the same way that you...
Understand. Yeah, no, I do not care about it.
You would love a miniatures game about, like, the fucking grunge bands of the 90s.
No, I wouldn't. That would be terrible.
I would love that.
No, but Sips would love that. Or hip-hop, you know. Or The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I don't know. They like things about, I don't know, fucking Pokemon.
Lil Nas X.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And I don't know, weird... But that's what I go back to, is like... They know that universe, and that universe doesn't have to do anything. You know, you can watch like a crappy Star Wars movie, but because you know the universe of it so well, and you've watched everything before, and you've got that background of knowledge, like, it doesn't have to be amazing to be a good experience.
Here's one thing I will say, though. I grew up with Transformers, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Thundercats. None of those are going to make a good board game. I grew up with it, but I don't give a shit about it now. So
you tell me one thing about the lore of those things, though.
Wait,
like,
but
it feels like,
the
you
point
know,
is that
He-Man
the Pokemon
was,
stuff...
He-Man was invented to sell toys. There's no...
Of course, but so was Pokemon.
The lore, the TV show, everything, was not meant to be anything more than...
No, hold on, let me make my point. My point is that those things didn't have anything really to them. So the enduring appeal of Pokemon must be because it has more to it. Like,
it's
not just that they grew up with it. It must actually be good. I just don't care.
They recognize the hundreds of Pokemon, you know. That's
it's not
it
just
is.
That. It's I honestly think you're underestimating how good it must be. I'm just saying it's not for me. I've looked at it. I don't care, but I can see it's better than the shit I grew up.
I agree with Flax. There's definitely something about it that keeps people playing it beyond being a kid, because like you said, like I'd have no interest in doing anything related to He-Man, even though I played with He-Man a lot.
Yeah, it's shit.
Ninja Turtles.
I mean, I've got some nostalgia about it. I remember the toys. I remember, sure. I have a fondness for it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fucking play a He-Man boy. It's going to suck.
Oh my God. So one thing I did yesterday was I visited Simon's Animal Crossing Island.
Right.
Animal Crossing is obviously the same way that, it's been out. The version of Animal Crossing being out for 15, 20 years.
This is a real experience, though.
But this is a real big one. Yeah. And part of it is the fact that there are 300 or 400 villagers and people know who they are and have experienced them before and like the style of gameplay. And it's very chill. It's very fun. Simon has been, he's created this really kind of cool island with some cool stuff on it. It looks really fun. It's very Simon. He's been streaming him doing it in the mornings, and we recorded a video of just me having like a half an hour tour of his island. And I don't know, like, it's just, it made me laugh a lot. And he clearly been having it clearly felt like he'd, in the same way that you've been making a meat factory, yeah. Sips. Simon had made like a kind of, he'd made like a, originally he had like a creepy basement with like creepy dolls and candles in it and stuff. And he was making like a pentagram down there, but he eventually turned it into like a kind of nightclub.
Okay.
And then he's got like a really cool study, and he's got like a kind of panic room behind a bookshelf that you have to push the bookshelf. You go behind the panic room. The panic room's got like a golden throne in there, and he's got like a special costume with a King Turdington golden suit on. It's just, it made me laugh my ass off a couple of times. And, it felt like, I don't know, wholesome, but also like something that he'd obviously really, I don't know, just gotten invested in, felt like he was enjoying it. And also something that he clearly wanted to go back to out of the stream, in the same way that you're enjoying. So coming back to your Fallout thing, I don't think it's a problem, Sips. It sounds like a problem, and you might worry that it's a problem, but because you're worried that it's a problem, it's probably not a problem.
I don't want my kids to see it.
I think it's...
I don't agree with that, because, Son of Sam wrote on the wall, "Stop me before I kill again."
Right.
He knew what Son of Sam was doing was not cool. It doesn't make it okay.
I think what you're doing, Sips, is fucking hilarious, and I love it. And every time I watch your stream, it makes me want to reinstall Fallout 4. And do the same. So I'm fully supporting I saw actually on Reddit there was someone made like a fucking took some clip out of like an 80s movie for the bone.
I haven't seen that.
What was it? Did you see that? There was a clip on r/sips. Yeah, it's like out of an 80s movie where there's all these tourists and they go in a bone machine and it spits out the bones at the other side.
I'm gonna look this up right now.
Go have a look after the podcast. Oh, anyway, we've got to finish up.
All right.
Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for watching. Bodega book is out.
Audiobook.
Audible.
Number 3 on the charts.
It was on the charts.
Behind classics such as Lord of the Rings and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah,
and
for a while Bodega. It was number 4 there. Wow. It was crazy.
If you want to get a copy of that, you have to sign up to Audible or something.
And for a little while, it was number 69 on the overall list. Made me very happy.
Nice.
We don't have any referral codes or anything because it's 2020 and there's no, any kind of referral code or any kind of thing link like that. And we're not sponsored by Audible and whatever, but that's where you can get it if you're interested.
Yeah.
So
Thank you for everybody that's already got it and the poster and everything. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You guys rock. Thank you for supporting B-Flex. Because he needs it.
He does. Yeah.
Poor boy. He has to feed his... He's got Magnus Carlsen tutoring him and he's not cheap.
He is expensive. And gets very angry with me.
Magnus, no.
Well, thanks for listening and stay frosty and we'll see you guys next week.
Next week. Yep. Bye.
See you next week. Stay alert. Love you all. Stay safe. Stay alert.
Yes.
Stay alert.
Bye.